got another question here that's from our good friend Bill Murray. Bill has asked us, is this a good time to overweight financials? In my Vanguard IRA, I'm considering selling some S&P 500 index in order to buy a Vanguard Financials Index. In the past year, it's up 35%. Am I too late? Will this sector outperform the S&P 500 over the next 3 to 5 years? Please enlighten me. I wish I knew the answer to that one because...
make our job a little easier.
Sure. Well, we would all just overweight. But the reality is, yes, it's up 35%. Some of that is because of interest rate movements, but really most of it was back last November in 2016. The presidential election of Donald Trump on the platform that he would lower regulation actually gave the financials a huge boost.
I think the thing you have to be worried of here is how much of that is baked into the price at this point. Because you saw financials move a lot on that noise, but nothing is materialized yet.
Correct.
Now, as we mentioned, we have a new Fed chair who's a little more in favor than Janet Yellen.
Sure. So some of the things can be done.
Lessening regulation.
Right. Well, the regulation was created by... politicians and handed to the bureaucracy, the Treasury Department and the Fed to handle the details of it. So, you know, you've got somebody now in place or that will soon be in place. What is that, March, I think it is, where, you know, you got a favorable opinion now. But you're exactly right, Nick. Nothing's happened. The price moved and there really wasn't any action. When I look at interest rates from the very first time that we had the Fed raise, which was December 16th, 2015, was our first tick up in the overnight lending rate. From that point, we've actually had a flattening of the yield curve.
Right, and banks, in order to become, this is not all financials.
Right, but banks.
Banks, a large portion of that sector, rely on that net interest margin.
Yeah, they borrow money short term,
and
they
lend
it over a 30-year
mortgage.
Yeah, so
you want to see a steepening of the yield curve.
In order for them to be more profitable.
Exactly.
Right?
And as you said, that hasn't happened yet.
No.
Yet I still feel like financials are priced as if, or they've risen as if that is happening, or the expectation that it will happen. But we just haven't seen the signs of that yet. And I understand we have the unwinding of the balance sheet, which in theory should have an effect.
Right. In theory.
Right. You're not buying the long end anymore with all those proceeds that are bonds maturing. You're not going out and reinvesting those. And driving prices higher, yields down. So,
but doesn't this go back to what you said, a question or a response where you said this is a good time to rebalance? So, you know, the financials are up huge. And so if you're selling something where the financials are up and you're buying into the financials, you're not really rebalancing there.
Right.
A couple of things that I'd like to throw in here. When I look at the valuation in financials, as the sector as a whole doesn't look real expensive. It looked really cheap before the big boost that it had a year ago, but it, you know, at this point, it's only about at a 1% premium to its long-term price-to-earnings ratio. But the thing, you know, as we're talking, that I would like to point out is over the last year, we've had about a 25 basis point flattening of the yield curve, and yet we've got 35% gain in these financials. I really do believe, as Nick said, that a lot of this is already baked into the price. If we get more financial regulation, it's likely to have a change. Now, what I would say, when I look at the Vanguard Financials Index, ticker VFAIX, that I was asked, that Bill Murray asked about, I see that the biggest position in there is J.P. Morgan, a bank. And it's over 8%, almost 9% of the total. So when you've got something that's so heavily dependent on banking, and I think BB&T is like the second largest holding there, I believe that you're not as likely to get the big boost. Now, I could probably get more behind a situation in a rising interest rate market where if you wanted to buy an exchange-traded fund for insurance companies, especially if there were one for life insurance, I believe that would be a better play in financials than something so heavily relying on the banks.
Yeah.
And if I were going to do that, I mean, there's a couple out there. iShares Insurance ETF is ticker symbol IAK, or the SPDR Insurance Sector ETF. KIE, either one of those would probably get you what you want. Still not perfect because you're going to get property and casualty insurance as well.
And be mindful of how much exposure you're getting. You know, you're talking about trimming your kind of broader market exposure, it looks like here, in favor of financials. Just
right.
Don't go selling 10% and pile that all into financials and give yourself, you know, a huge overweight position in financials.
Right, yeah. Financials aren't a huge portion of the S&P 500
right.
these days, which is a bit of a change. You know, 2007 and 8, or 2006 and 7, by 8 and 2008, they had already gotten cut significantly. But
I want to point out one other thing. You know,
sure.
We talk about earnings and future expectations for stocks. I mean, that's how you price them after all, right? Financials have only grown earnings by like 2%.
Yeah.
In this quarter.
Right.
So, actually, no, I lied to you. Financials earnings have fallen 2%.
Yeah, and the price is up 35.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, again, you look at the PE, and basically what happened is the price just normalized back in November 2016. Not a huge fan of the financials, especially since they hold pretty much everything that we're encouraging you to hold. All right, so we got a question here from Melinda. And again, if you have questions, you can get them to us, 770-429-9166. Talk to a real human. Our question hotline, 1-855-429-9166. Email address, drjean@hensler.com. So send us all you got, and we'll be happy to answer them for you. Linda from Atlanta. Quick and easy question. Can I roll a retirement plan distribution into an IRA? Shauna, what you got on that?
The quick answer is yes.
All right, perfect. On to the next.
But the way that Linda's question is, it's a plan distribution. So generally, you want to do a direct rollover from the 401k.
Right. You don't take control of
right.
it ever.
Right.
It alleviates any question as to taxability,
taxation.
Right?
Well, and a lot of plans, they require a 20% withholding.
Okay, so they would force the withholding.
They would withhold 20%. You'd roll the rest of the 80%. You'd get a refund, but it's still considered a taxable distribution, and there's no point of it unless you wanted the money.
Wait, sure. The withholding of the 20%, when do you receive that 20%?
When you file your tax return, you'd get a refund.
Oh, okay.
But it's still taxable
you.
To you, so that income would
yeah.
be taxable
yeah.
to you. So you just, you know, if you would have done a direct rollover, you could have rolled the whole thing over.
Yeah, no tax consequences
exactly.
whatsoever.
Right, but you'd have to do that within 60 days. If you take distribution of the money, then you have to do it within 60 days.
Right, so usually you would go out and you would open the IRA, or if you have an IRA that's open, you would talk to the custodian that holds that.
Correct.
And you would ask them to, behind the scenes, get the distribution sent directly
generally,
to them.
Generally, yes. Or you get the paperwork from your employer, and you would fill out that you want it sent to X custodian and this account number.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's something that you can get done behind the scenes so that you don't have to deal with
correct.
The tax. Yeah.
Correct.
Good answer. There
There's
we go.
Lots of things to think about with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. All right. Sam from Marietta says, what is a bond ladder? I've never heard this term before. I've always heard you say buy a bond that matures when you need the money. How is this different? Well,
basically not.
It's not.
It's the same
That's
thing.
Exactly
yeah.
Right.
Now, sometimes you can see folks that just manage fixed income investments that may not do a financial plan. So in just the pure sense of the word, a bond ladder or the term, a bond ladder would be bonds purchased at varying maturities over
sure.
a period of time. And it can vary from, you know, where you have bonds equally dispersed for the asset level over time.
Or to match anticipated spending needs, which is the
right.
way that we do it. As Sean
exactly.
talked about, the 10-year rule and meeting your liquidity needs, any money that you're going to need in the next 10 years, you know, we try and ladder you out a bond portfolio that matches each year's anticipated spending needs.
Absolutely. Nick, you talked earlier about the fact that it's very hard to beat inflation with bonds. So there's a few things that we've been doing a little bit different lately that will kind of boost the yield. Anytime you do that, you got to be careful not to take significant risk. Yeah, but we do have some bonds that we've purchased, actually funds that have a maturing date that give an investor a better yield. We try to keep that to a small percentage of the overall bonds that are held.
And as you mentioned, you know, if you're getting more yield, you should understand that you're not getting that for free. You're taking on more risk.
Sure.
But
yeah.
if you're buying a diversified portfolio of bonds, the likelihood that everything in there or even a significant portion of the holdings in there all
default
is very, very low.
Right.
And the way that we do it in a lot of cases, we buy these ETF products that have a targeted maturity. So the majority of your portfolio is matching when you need that money.
Right.
So you have a better idea of the cash flow that you will receive in that time of need.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way we came across this. We when new products are introduced into the market, we would never jump on one immediately. But Dr. Gene actually did his doctoral work on a similar subject, at least, and he came to the conclusion that, and these were all municipal bonds that he was looking at, that the higher yield actually was sufficient. It was paying you sufficient to entice investment in those lower rated municipal bonds in order to get you that higher yield. But again, only if you bought across the board quite a few. You had to diversify an issuer and maturity date and make sure that you weren't buying into the specifics of one company giving you a specific risk that was significantly higher than the overall market. So that was one of the reasons that when we checked those out that we made that decision to get in there. And again, you know, we do several things to mitigate the risk that that a client would be taking on. And then, you know, some of the longer-term money we've actually considered for some clients using an income portfolio. Shauna, you actually are a big fan of that particular portfolio, right?
I absolutely am.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's focused. It's a large-cap portfolio, bigger companies, well-established, pay a good dividend.
That's well-covered.
Yes, absolutely, in all cases, well-covered. But we do look at a couple of different things within that portfolio, right, Nick?
Yeah, so we kind of take a two-pronged approach to it. We look for stocks that are high-yielding, you know, paying above-average dividend yield to get you that income. But we also look at those stocks that have a projected dividend growth rate that is above average. So it may not be paying a huge yield right now, but the expectation is that 3, 5, 10 years from now, that
right.
dividend is going to continue to grow. They're generating enough cash flow to be able to grow that dividend at a sustained pace. So, you know, 5 years out from now, you might have only been getting a dollar off that stock at the time, and now you're maybe getting, you know, $3 off.
Sure. And if you compare the yield to your cost and
exactly.
not so much the current market price, you know, current market prices change as time goes by, and the trend is always positive over a long period of time. So, you know, you look at the yields relative to the cost in some of those portfolios, they're pretty impressive, right, Nick?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so instead of the 2 or 3% that you could see in the market today, you might have 5 or 6, maybe even larger for stocks that you bought way back when. McDonald's has been awesome in that portfolio as it pays a significant dividend, right?
Yeah, we've got a number of companies in there that have paid and raised their dividends for, you know, 40 plus years.
Yeah.
I think McDonald's being one of them.
Yeah.
I think 41 years.
Yeah. Wow. Pretty impressive. All right, let's move on. We got a question. Duncan from Stockbridge says, I'm interested in Zag Incorporated. With so many electronic products on the market, it seems like the accessories market is a good place to be. What do you think of this company? We should lay out, first of all, Zag's symbol is ZAGG, and it does make accessories for phones, basically the iPhone and the Samsung branded phones, as well as I guess the new Pixel 2,
which go across the board.
Right. So these are covers, the screen covers and cases and that sort of thing.
I think a lot of the expectation, and you can speak to the stock more so than I can, but quickly I just want to say that the Apple's new wireless charging technology is powered by MoFi, which is owned by Zag.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big growth opportunities, I think, for Zag at this time.
It's one of those that's kind of tough to call at the moment. The price is up 203% in the past year, up 120% just since July. It was up 22% this week.
It just seems like such a commoditized product for the most part.
It really does.
Accessories for electronics.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more risk than I would want to take on. You know, if you just wanted some hot, interesting thing at the very heart of iPhones, then maybe it's you, but I would not recommend it. All right, well, that wraps us up. Sean, a market up or down?
Up.
Up, how about that? Nick?
Up.
You know me, always market up. It's been a slice of heaven. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Money Talks out.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.